Welcome to Hollywood Wolfpack with Kaya Alexander, featuring in-depth interviews and insights with professionals in the entertainment business. Get everything you need to navigate your above-the-line career right here. This podcast is often recorded live in front of Kaya students in the Entertainment Business School. You can find out more at entertainmentbusinessschool.com. Hollywood Wolfpack is the new face of entertainment business wisdom. Enjoy the show.
All right. Hi, and welcome, everybody. I am Kaya Alexander, host of the Hollywood Wolfpack podcast. And this is a wonderful session, one of my favorites, because we have my students from the Entertainment Business School here live, also listening in to our special guest interview today, which is with manager Lee Staube. I want to tell you about Lee for a minute. He has over 15 years of management and producing experience and focuses on championing strong, independent voices in quality cinema and television. He's a lit manner, producer, and principal of To Be Continued. His success can be attributed to his passion, extensive knowledge, and enthusiasm for films. This has enabled him to, on numerous occasions, discover raw, exciting new talent and build them into juggernauts in Hollywood. Lee, welcome.
Hello. Great to be here. This is, and Joaquin's here with me as well.
Yeah, for those of you who are listening in, he has a sun conure. Is it a parrot? It's a parrot on his shirt. What's going on, Joaquin?
He's a cutie. He's now he's acting like he's shy.
He knows like he's on camera. This is why I really had you on the show today, Lee, because I saw your Instagram and I was like, oh wait, there will be awesome animals.
Yeah. A lot of animals. Yeah, I have a lot of animals.
Night show.
How exciting. 15 years of management and producing experience. Crazy.
Crazy.
A little gay boy from Ohio, all the way to here.
I love that so much. Well, tell us a little bit about your origin story. How does a little gay boy from Ohio get into this crazy business of show business?
That's a good question. Sheer will, I guess, manifestation, and I think mainly completely focusing on one idea. Like, so it really started when I was about, I guess I must have been 16. And I literally remember being about 45 minutes into watching Lord of the Rings in a theater. And I was just like, okay, here we go. This is it. This is what we're going to do. This is what the vibe is. We're going to just figure out how whatever is happening right now and I'm experiencing, I want to figure out what this is and do this for my entire life. So that kind of sent me down a road of just literally watching I was in Midland, Michigan, or I was in Mount Pleasant, where was I? I was in Midland, Michigan, I think at the time. Mount Pleasant. Yes. And literally just there's nothing to do there at all. So I just started watching movies just nonstop. Just like, I remember like I was like, okay, I'm going to go work in movies. And I remember I visited The Godfather and A Clockwork Orange were the first two movies that I went and rented, because like those felt like the most glaring kind of things that I had seen in my filmography. And that really just sent me down this pipeline of just literally every paper I ever wrote for school, everything I ever did was about movies from that point onward. And then I got moved out here in 2009, not having any kind of concept of even wanting to be a manager. I remember I turned down an interview turned down an internship at a management company, because I was like, I don't want to be like an agent or a manager, because that seems like they make fun of those on television. I want to be a producer. I want to be creatively involved in stuff. But eventually what I realized was it was a really powerful way to be involved in a lot of different things, right? And to touch your, like, you actually have a lot of, like, in some ways, you know, a producer makes a movie and then they move off, right? But I can stay with one person or one thing and have a lot of influence over a lot of different facets of the industry. So that was really interesting to me. And it feels like you actually have a much more kind of, you know, when I was a teenager, I imagine like, I just want to be the Coen brothers, like, dude, whatever that meant. And I feel like, well, that's kind of what a manager is. It's like, you're kind of like the grab bag, kind of all the above. And I do everything that everyone else doesn't do, which ends up being a lot. Everything. Oh, a lot. ends up being a lot of stuff that you know can't even kind of like comprehend or imagine, right? But that's what's kind of fun, but also, you know, kind of exhausting, all, you know, too. But I think it also, you know, when I think about, you know, for example, Shay, who wrote these two movies, he wrote John Wick 3, John Wick 4, and how he got those movies, that we literally developed a script together called Ballerina, because he just like liked action movies. And I remember when I was signing him, I find him out of a stack of LMU undergraduate scripts, just reading scripts because I was judging them. And he had the script called Maximum King, which was about Stephen King writing and directing Maximum Overdrive coked out of his mind. And I was just like, this writer is unbelievable. I hunted him down. I asked him my first interview. I was like, well, what do you want to do? He's like, I want to write action movies. And I said, we're going to make so much fucking money writing action movies. That's what I told him. I was like, this is the voice that people want for that. So then we spent
dream of a writer to hear their manager say that we're going to make so much money.
And well, now he's 28 years old and he's had 9 produced films, including that. So we then just, I was like, okay, let's write an action movie. So he just, let's write a female action movie like John Wick. I was like, okay. So he wrote a spec. We did like, for like 6 or 7 months, I just pounded the shit out of this spec with him. And then we went out with it. And then they bought it as a John Wick spinoff and they just shot it. And it's in post with Ana de Armas starring in it.
Oh my God.
Right? As the first John Wick spinoff that they made. So that writing that spec is what got him all these other things, essentially. Right. And he's made a lot of fucking money writing action movies, which was also just about essentially auditioning for the job that he wanted by making the perfect sample. Like I wasn't thinking it. I was like, okay, well, let's just make the best version of one of those movies. And I remember thinking, well, why we wouldn't even necessarily need to send it to the John Wick because it's too close to John Wick. Well, that was the whole point. Because we had made exactly what they were looking for, right? Like, we gave them exactly what they wanted, right? They needed that movie, right? In that franchise. So that kind of, that level of kind of power, right? I'm like, I've influenced by finding this one person, developing that one script. I've now, like a ripple through time, have influenced all these movies. Now he's writing all the Zack Snyder's movies and this. And I see that, like, you know, I see that his fingerprint, because I've taken him and kind of launched him into this space.
That's Shay Hatton.
Shay Hatton is his name. So I've influenced all of these other films, right? And how kind of powerful and kind of, you know, exciting that is. Same time, it's also a little bit like I'm not really involved in those things. So like it gets a little bit like, okay, I have like, if I'm like, but I'm involved, but I'm not involved. So it's like, you know, I'm starting to kind of, that's why I like the producing. Like I produced this indie movie. It was like a $250,000 indie movie that the director and I just financed myself, about addiction and codependent relationships. And we actually shot one of the scenes in my office here, like with Deborah Wilson from Mad TV. So just like, so to me, it's like, I'm the kind of person where I love being involved in like Stranger Things and John Wick and, you know, clearly all the like kind of, obviously the money that comes from being involved in those things. But also like, I really also just, I came to Hollywood from the same thing that just like Gabe would be like, I want to make Lord of the Rings. I want to make stories. I want to inspire people. I want to try to, you know, spread love and, you know, inspire people through film and art, right? And music. I was just watching Moulin Rouge actually before, because I watch it like every day, right? Because I just try to constantly remind myself kind of why I'm doing this, right? And kind of what are the beacons that I'm trying to aspire to do, right? And not to compromise before them.
Gen flowing, right? Yeah, that's so important in our business where it can kind of be exhausting.
It's really exhausting.
Stay connected to that passion. Tell me a little bit more about your management style, because it sounds like you were really involved in the development of some of these films.
This episode is brought to you by Essentia. A better you starts with better hydration. Essentia is on a mission to inspire people to do what matters most. Their proprietary ionization process transforms water from any source into ionized alkaline water, providing water that's 99.9% pure with a pH of 9.5 or higher. Essentia overachieving H2O, the number one ionized alkaline water. Shop now.
I'm super involved. I'm really, really involved, essentially, in every aspect of everything. I think it's like, you know, I think this also, you know, maybe comes from, I was homeschooled my whole life too. So I just kind of don't follow rules very well. Or I don't care about them, but I think that's also kind of, that's the kind of fun of Hollywood, is like, there isn't any rules really. Like, people attempt to act like there's rules, but there really isn't. And when you kind of don't do what they want you to do. They get mad, but I always get what I want. So it doesn't matter, right? You can kind of make it up as you go along. Managers aren't even really supposed to exist, right? So a lot of that's kind of, sure, exhausting, and I kind of create too much chaos sometimes. But I think that chaos is also what keeps it, you know, you have to keep everyone on their toes a little bit, right? And it's like, if you kind of, if you, people are only going to care about passion and excitement and real kind of like, you know, when someone's screaming at me, I know I'm kind of doing it correctly. I'm like, oh, I see. They're mad because they're not getting something. Okay, well, I guess I must have something that someone wants then, right? It's kind of like, that's kind of like the test, but also makes it exhausting too, when you're just trying to like, I'm just trying to make stuff beautiful and people are always kind of arguing with you. And then dealing with a lot of people, especially, again, I think the thing that was most frustrating to me is still kind of most frustrating. And again, I try not to get, you know, I try to kind of make the views like, that's why I have to be here. It's like, there's so many people that, not that they don't care about film, but it's also more of a job for them rather than something that they've committed to. It's like, I've completely committed to this, right? Like, I fully committed to this as a concept. This is not like, I didn't know anyone when I came out here, right? Like, I shoveled myself into this thing, right? And no one kind of like, sure, some people helped me along the way, but every single thing was, you know, I've left companies because I'm like, well, these people aren't helping me. I just got to do it myself. And why am I giving them my money when I'm doing it all myself anyway? So, and I think that would scare some people, but it's been the best thing for me because I've just pushed myself and then I've just kind of, I have to constantly just be investing back into myself and no one else and not kind of giving it away to anyone else as well. But in terms of my style, it's like, yeah, my favorite thing is giving notes because I've also just seen every movie. Like, I've just seen everything, right? I can reference everything and I can just, my knowledge base is so strong, but also understanding that once you've read as many screenplays and seen as many movies and heard as many notes and this and that and the other, you just realize that it's always the same notes. It's always the same notes and always the same problem. And if your movie, the most successful, best screenplays I've ever had just came from a very, very clean, like, space, right? Anything that you feel like you have to beat up too much to kind of get it to work, well, then you kind of didn't think of it. Like, it's not going to work, right? Bubbles, like, so the number one Blacklist script that I had, Bubbles, what about Michael Jackson's Chimpanzee? It's like, literally, Isaac pitched me that in, like, a paragraph. It's like, what about this? I called him on the phone, like, what's the structure? It's like, well, he gets Bubbles right when he's doing the Bad album, and he gets rid of Bubbles at the height of child molestation stuff. And I'm like, oh, so it's a Greek tragedy. I was like, okay, well, there you go. Great. Done. Like, the story was just so, like, I didn't have to give him any notes about what the structure of it was. It was just super obvious, right? And then literally a month and a half later, he turned me the draft in on a Saturday. I literally gave him, like, some typos, some little ending notes, and literally I was sending it to people by Sunday. So from literally like concept to me, like within a week, we had like, they're delivering it to Jon Favreau exclusively at the like Avengers premiere, right? It was like within like a week, it just like blew up in every agency we had signed up within 2 months, right? From literally concept to like finished script, because it just flew out of him, right? It just wrote itself, right? So I think part of it is not just deliver screenplay, but that also came from just dozens and dozens of conversations I had with the writer about the kind of movies we should be doing, what kind of movies that people want, what makes me excited, what kind of things are we doing, and pushing and pushing and pushing. And eventually that idea came out of that, right? So I think that's also kind of speaks to my style. A lot of style is, I don't know, tormenting people until they figure it out, essentially, and the kind of pressure cookering a little bit, being like, no, I'm not, like, I don't get excited unless something's like amazing. Like, I don't go out with a lot of stuff. Like, you know, I really only focus on things like, I have a very, very, very good track record of selling things that I go out with because I don't go out with a lot of things. Mm. It's just one script, right? It's not like you need a million scripts. You just need one, two, right? It's like, then that's it. I haven't had a lot of success with going out with things that people want. I've had a lot of success with going out with things that people said they would never want. And that's the thing someone ends up buying because no one, it doesn't exist. I'm not competing with anyone else. for anything. I'm doing like Bubbles is a one for one script, like just coming up with things that are very like, this is the prime version of this thing. So anyone else is going to be copying me, essentially, right? Trying to kind of come up with new kind of things, which is like difficult, but then but you know when you see it, right? And that's what cuts through the noise super fast. The game is about, we're not, I'm not looking for, oh, it's pretty good. Like, oh, like that's what I don't really do. Not that I don't do a lot of television, but I don't do a lot of like staffing in this because I think it's a little bit, to me, that's a little bit of the world of, okay, just like samples that are pretty good or setting meetings, or it's more about the kind of the politics of it versus just like, look at something that's fucking beautiful. Look at how beautiful the screenplay is. Like, let's just go, like really just focusing on that. Like the art, it's like the thing itself.
How do you find your writers? I know what needle in a haystack that is, especially with voice and commerciality and originality. Where do you tend to find your clients?
I think they find me. I think it's all about attraction too. Not that I don't get recommendations from people or I don't get sent to me or referred or whatever, but I know what is working. And it's, to me, I can read two pages of a screenplay and just know, kind of. And I think that's a better place. And I think that I like to kind of find people that are in that kind of like, okay, this is just a brilliant writer, or this is just a brilliant idea. And then I can go in and really tinker with it and kind of blow it all up and make sure that we're working as a screenplay. Like there's been so many times where people like sent a screenplay and it was really great, but they didn't have a title. They didn't have an ending. They didn't even know how to pitch it. And I literally took all of their raw material, like an editor, and rearranged it, came up with a title, changed the ending, and made it something that I can go and sell. I would put it this way. People that listen to my notes and do my notes do well. And people that don't want to listen to my notes and don't want to do it, they're not that they aren't going to do it, but they're not going to do well with me. Because I know what I am very, very, very aware of what I can get done and what I can get people excited about. And when I start getting conversations with people like, well, this showrunner read it and they think this, or this other friend read it and they think this thing. I'm like, all right, well, I can't wait for your friend to let me know how much they're paying for it, I guess. Paying it for, because I'm not sending it to anyone because I think it needs work still. Like, that's it. Like, I don't, like, I can't. So we come back to myself. Really, that's my style. So my style is like, I got to care about it because yeah. I've gotten myself into situations where I'm pushing for something or I'm advocating for something and I'm doing it because, well, they're my client or this or whatever. And then I'm into like, why am I arguing or defending something that I don't care about? It's too hard. I mean, I remember like with, especially with Bubbles, it's like, it was a bidding war between Tim Burton and Dan Harmon for it. And I was essentially like, Tim Burton made an offer, and it's really difficult to say no to Tim Burton making an offer on your script. But I was like, no, his recent movies haven't been that good. And I want to do it with Dan Harmon. So literally another agent I conspired together and I got an offer for four times more money for Dan Harmon to buy it.
Oh my God.
So that's what we did. So we sold it to Dan Harmon and I made, and then everyone was happy because I got them a lot more money. So I got what I wanted. But again, that was me like, well, I want this.
Yes.
This is the version. I want to do the stop motion animation version with Don Harmon. That's what I want to do. Sorry, Tim Burton. Like, that's interesting, but I don't believe, like, I think this is the version that has the best chance of getting made. So what I did is I made it so everyone could be happy. It's like, well, how do I make sure that everyone gets happy? Well, I guess I have to find some more money. So I called and created some ripples and some chaos, and then there you go. I got what I wanted, needed, right? Then everyone was happy. Yeah, not that Tim Burton couldn't get it made, but I didn't believe that. We hadn't even talked to him. It's like, I'm hanging out with Dan Harmon. Like, I want to do it with Dan Harmon. He's cool. Like he's like telling me how, like, he's telling me I'm cool. I want to hang out with him, right? Like, let's do that version because I feel the passion and the care for it, right? Which is actually what I care about, right? I want to make the movie. I don't want to like have a deadline announcement. I don't give a shit about deadline. I'm trying to be caring too much about what anyone else is kind of thinking or doing or caring, right? Just like, what do I need? What is the thing that is going to make me? And also, like, because trusting my instincts too, trusting my intuition, right? When Shay said that he wanted to write action movies, I knew we would make a lot of money in action movies. Why? Because I knew that I knew that he had the ability to do it, and I knew that I would put the work in and get him to figure it out. I knew that I was like, okay, I'll have to like work backwards from there, like setting the intention to the future and working backwards.
It sounds like you have gotten good at trusting your instincts. Were there ever moments where you didn't trust instincts? Like, how'd you learn that lesson?
I guess we'll see how it all plays out. There's some things, it's like, well, I think a lot of it, and well, I mean, it's also, I mean, I've been going through a lot. Like, I think also part of it is like, because I have this power, light, etc., whatever, energy, whatever around me, it's also made in me a lot of darkness. Also, like a lot of darkness gets kind of sucked up into that too. And a lot of people attempting to steal what I would have given away for free, let's say, right? So I think also so last December I did ayahuasca for the first time, and now I've done it like four more times since then. I've done Bufo and I've done Iboga and stuff. So I think a lot of that's why I have a lot of clarity about all these things too, because when I haven't trusted my intuition, again, I think I talked a little bit about like when I haven't trusted my intuition, I was doing something that I didn't really want to do, or I was doing something to make money. It's like, money is not something to be concerned about, in my opinion, right? If you're too worried about, whenever a writer's like, Lee, I really need a job, I'm like, oh, okay, I guess Starbucks is probably hiring. I'm like, I don't know what you want from me. I'm a wizard. Like, why you want asking a wizard to get you a Starbucks job? Right? Like, I'm a dragon. Like, that's not what I do. I'm like, well, if you've been listening to my notes for the past year, and writing that screenplay that I told you to do before and not the other one, well, then maybe we're having a different conversation. But now you don't get to come to me being like, now somehow it's my fault that your dream isn't coming true when I literally told you exactly what you needed to do in order for me to be able to help you with that. When I haven't trusted my intuition, it's actually only caused me more grief later, and then I've had to correct it in very aggressive ways to rebalance myself out and kind of reclaim my power a little bit. And that is scary for other people. And I have to not be too concerned about that as well, because I have to just, my self-care is what I am focusing on. And I know that when I'm taking care of myself the most and I'm in my highest, calmest place, that's when my notes are going to be the best. That's when I'm most energized. It's going to be most powerful for everyone, etc. Right? That's it.
It's a knowing without knowing why. And I feel like, at least at this point in my life, getting to that place of how do I trust my knowing, even if I don't know why? Because I can get really in my head and get dropped back into my heart and go, oh, this is what my truth is. And then it's like you were talking about the alignment of that, the congruence of that. Doors open and it becomes a lot more effortless. I respect that about you. I admire that, because in this industry, it's really easy to get pulled into other people's gravitational fields. And it sounds like you have, you know, found a way of working that's really true to yourself. That's a little bit different than how the industry, like, you know, likes things to be done, quote unquote.
Yeah.
But people respond to that. They love that because they're
they're either going to be into it or they're not going to be into it. I know that, like, I have given notes on screenplays. Like, there are films that, even if I don't represent the writer and director anymore, when people talk about how good the movie is, they're talking about literal scenes that I literally just told them exactly to do. Right? Like, literally do this. So I think part of it also was, this is also what the ayahuasca showed me and stuff too. It's like, I've actually been more working on my own stuff too. Like, I've edited a film and this and writing my own screenplays. It's like, you know, I'm working on my own screenplay right now. So now when I'm reading screenplays, I'm like, oh, this is nowhere near as good as my screenplay, right? Because I know what a good screenplay is. And I know that this idea is a complete banger. Like, I just know that's a complete banger. I know that I haven't even told anyone what the idea is, because if I told you the idea is, you'd be like, God damn, that's a great idea for a screenplay. I'm like, yeah, I know it is. I absolutely fucking know that it is in every fiber and core of my being. And like, sure, I could give this to another writer, but that's not the point. It came to me. Yeah, I'm supposed to write it for some reason, right? I'm supposed to pump this out on the page and, you know, and tell the story. So, but what does that do? That makes me even a better manager and producer, etc. Because when I, so now when a writer's talking about writing a screenplay, I'm like, oh, it's so hard, I'm like, Well, I'm writing a screenplay. And what I do, I'm not writing it right now, but I watched 50 movies that are all in the same genre of it as research. Did you do that for your screenplay? Oh, you didn't? Okay, well, I guess no one ever taught you how to write a screenplay then. Right? Because again, I'm just a how would I do it? Right? Like, just do the work. Three journals of just notes, right? It's not even, like, writing a screenplay isn't about, okay, I got to sit down and I got to write the pages out and da da da. It's like, I'm thinking about it. It's like, no, I want to have the entire screenplay in my mind, an entire thing in my entire mind, in my mind. And then when I type it out, it should just flow out of me, right? And I feel like that's, and to me, that's when I talk about the best screenplays, that's how the best screenplays for every writer I've ever seen done, right? It's, you can't, if you start just, not that you can't write things, but it can't be like, oh, this is the final thing and you're getting too married to any single scene or this or whatever. It's like, that's just not, that's not the point. You have to let the movie kind of be what it has to be, and that just let the intuition flow, right? And understand that, like, every single thing that happens in my life is educating me about this screenplay that I'm working on, but every other screenplay that I'm working on too, right? Real life experiences, right? Putting myself in crazy places, right? I was in Europe for 3 months last year doing all kind of crazy adventures and this and da 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 and all this stuff, right? It's not about just researching things. It's about experiencing things and putting yourself in those situations so you can actually speak to them in a more profound way, right? At least for me.
Talking about the alchemy of the creativity, you know, which is actually being present to life and absorbing everything from what's happening in the world around you, and hopefully having those experiences so that by the time you come back to create, it is alive inside you. You're not just beating something up that, you know, that's been overworked and reworked to death.
Yeah. So then when some stupid executive gives some notes on it, whatever, I'm just like, you've never even left LA or whatever. Congrats. You've never you've never experienced any kind of thing that's really that traumatic or intense or this, because you don't understand what the real kind of, you don't understand, like, right. When I'm giving notes on a scene, I'm pulling from my real existence, my real life and real anecdotes from things that I've absorbed from I'm a big sponge, right? I love stories, right? I'm always listening to every story that, you know. That's even like, you know, with these ayahuasca ceremonies, you go there and it's a bunch of people and a lot of people are going through deep, traumatic, emotional things and they're sharing all this stuff. It's like, oh, I see. This is the thought, like, this is the real life fodder. This is like, everyone's dealing with this kind of stuff, and kind of being pulled back that curtain from people and absorb those stories and those things is so powerful. And I think a lot of people that want to make movies or this or screenplays, they're not focusing on that aspect of it, right? They're not focusing on, it's not just about sitting in your house, writing your screenplay and reading your fucking Save the Cat book or whatever. It's like, good movies, good screenplays are going to come from experiencing life and finding it, right? And the story will find you, right?
Heard. So
the story will find you, and then it should be easy, right? It's also about finding out who you are and what kind of stories you should be able to be telling, right? Like, the screenplay I'm writing, I am also going to direct it too. Why? Because no one else could direct it, because it's completely in me, right? And I know it's like, because I'm pulling from my very experiences, my real emotions, the kind of things that I want to be doing, right? So I wouldn't be able to translate that to someone else, right? And now that you have to direct your own things, but that screenplay should have that in it, whatever it is, right? I think that with the best memes, like Bubbles or Ballerina, or, you know, Isaac Bubbles has an awesome song. When people read these screenplays, they're just like, wow, this is a complete and utter thought. Right, it's a complete thought. It's so fun. Everything is working. It's completely, because it's like, it's just, yeah, it's a, it came out perfectly conceived, right? It wasn't forced at all, because the story found us, right? Right. It wasn't like, it just, right? And like an alchemy, yeah, it's all alchemy. I'm like, okay, da 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 da, right? Right. I've taken I've sold multiple screenplays that were pitches for other people's projects. Right, having writers pitch on IP, and then that pitch being so great, I'm like, okay, let's just spec it. Just spec it as an idea, right? Because, okay, great, that came out using a prompt from someone else and using us, like, okay, well, that was great. That was a great prompt, right? Coming up with ideas, like, okay, you're like, oh, that, why was that a great pitch? Oh, it was a great pitch because it was a great movie. And so they didn't buy it. Why didn't they buy it? Because it was too cool. Okay, well, so it's too cool, then I guess we have to do it. The feedback from the network, from the television network, where the studio was, well, that's too unique. We can't do that. Well, there you go. Then that's definitely have to be a spec. Then we have, great, because it's going to be someone else. So then we spec it and someone else buys it because, like, oh my God, this is so cool. So unique. It's so fun. I'm like, exactly. Right.
Yeah, because exactly.
They weren't ready at the front door for that to be the thing, but they actually secretly really wanted it. Right. They secretly really wanted it. Right.
Because it's cool and original and different and fun and alive. Yeah, I'm a writer too, and when I'm most connected to what's alive inside me, that everything makes so much more sense than when I'm coming at it, like you said, from the front door. Because I have my experience as a development exec, so it's like that part of my brain is always there of like, what's going to be commercial, what's going to sell, but then it can also just land flat. And like you, the best screenplays that I've read, the ones that have really stayed with me, they're different, they're original, they're so alive, and you're going, oh my God, I care about these people like they're real people. Yes. And that's just the best feeling. Hey, what's been happening since the, you know, congratulations to you, to your clients, to the WGA that the strike is complete. What's happening right now? Like, what's happening in your world? What's happening?
It's exciting. It's busy.
It's busy.
It's busy. Yeah. It's busy. I think it's good. People seem excited about doing stuff. It's both good and bad in that there's a cleansing that I think occurs of people. Hollywood is not, well, how about just making movies in general, unless you're just like rich and just want to make shit with your friends and like some in Ohio or something. Well, that's fine. Go do that. But if you actually want to participate in this game, the thing is, and again, I think it's probably actually more bad than good, is that there's always a compression. There's always a squeezing out. And unfortunately, it kind of ends up hurting the people kind of at the bottom, in the middle the most, because if you're at the top, you're not going anywhere.
Right.
You can just sit there. You don't have to make any money for years. Right. But if you need to work or need to make money, it can kind of start pushing people into other kinds of things. Mm-hmm. But I think, which is bad in that it pushes people out, but also good in meaning, well, then the people that still stay are the hungrier ones, right? Because it's like, I made less than like $10,000 a year for like 8 years of my life, right? When I was trying to be a manager. I remember I was on the set of my Liv Tyler movie in New York, and I had $200,000 in credit card debt, and I couldn't pay. I literally was so poor on, like, literally was so poor on paper, even though I was selling strips and this and whatever, but like the money hadn't come in. I literally had to eat at Target, Starbucks, because all my other credit cards were maxed out. And I had no money in my, and I had to use my cash that I was getting from like giving notes on screenplays to pay for rent, essentially, both from my house. I was saying it, and it's like, so I don't have a lot of sympathy for people that are like, oh, but I need a job, I'm poor. I'm like, I had $200,000 in credit card debt and had to beat at Starbucks with my Target card. Or I had to beg my mom for like some money to rent a car. It's like, I get it. It's fucking tough. Keep going. It's just, you keep going. You have to just keep going. Like, it's not fucking easy. It's not easy to do it. Right. So that's the thing. It's like, so if you really want to keep doing it, but you have to understand you're trying to do it for, try to do it for the right reason, right? And again, I feel like I always try to get like, I fucking hate Hollywood, I need to stop doing this, da, da, da. But I realize I need to stay, because if I leave, then what, who's gonna, someone has to be here to like make sure there's still some wizardry and like there's
trying to make some good wizard shit.
Someone needs to try to be here to make sure they're making good stuff. Someone has to be here to make sure they're making good stuff and keep them on their toes a little bit.
It's your daughter.
And to enjoy and have fun. I'm like, again, try to have fun with it. It's like, it's so obnoxious. I mean, I don't even know if I can go to Sundance again. But whenever I go to Sundance, it's just like all these people just sitting around at these parties talking about bullshit. And I'm like, well, this is cool. Shouldn't we be dancing? We're at Sundance. It's so fun. And like, wait, you're not, how many movies have you seen? Oh, blah, blah, blah. I'm leaving early. I can't watch any more movies. You're leaving early? I'm here all week watching movies. It's just like, I don't know. I don't get it. So these people who are in Hollywood like hate it. They get so like, ugh, I have to watch movies. I'm like, yeah, all day long. How cool is that?
Yeah, hopefully that's the joy of the job. I mean, why are you here otherwise?
Why not? Because I think I have to remind myself a little bit. Like, that's why I'm here. So I like to go to Cannes. Cannes is my best, the best film festival, because like, just the fucking best shit.
Oh, Cannes the party's
best shit. But the thing that's the thing that's disappointing about Cannes is that there's like so few industry people there. I know it's expensive and difficult to get to, but like, I don't know, these people aren't poor. There's really no reason why they shouldn't be there. Like, it's the best. It's the absolute fucking best. Was that like the eight mountains? This movie that came out, this just came out a little bit ago. I'm like at the Cannes Mirror Theater. It's like 5,000 people, and I'm crying so much. Like, there's like a seat empty next to me. And I'm literally just like crying so much. I'm just like weeping into this chair, and he's like standing ovation. And I was like, this is like the shit you try to remind yourself to do, and it's like it's Sundance. Everyone's like, oh, let's do a stupid Q&A at the end. I'm like, no, you don't understand. You guys are boring. I hate this. Like, it's just supposed to be how it's supposed to be. Like, it's supposed to be like spiritual. It's supposed to be incredible, right? It's like, even like this year, like there's a movie called Riddle of Fire, which is like, I'm playing on the director's name, but it's like, that guy's going to direct a Disney movie. Sundance should be ashamed of themselves for not getting that movie. The best American film I saw this year was at Cannes. Sundance sucks. Sundance, come on. You're lame. I can't believe you're letting Cannes poach you on a, it's like Napoleon Dynamite fantasy. I'm like, oh, it's so good. It's so cute. It's about these, like, it's like these kids who like go on this adventure.
Oh, my God. I can't wait to see it.
It's so good. It's like, it's just so great. It's like, that's like, it's inspiring when you see someone like, oh, they're just fucking doing it. They're just doing it. They're making a great movie in Cannes, which is like, your movie's cool. That's like, yeah.
One more important question for you. It's important to me. Cause I'm bi and queer, and we've been seeing so many LGBTQ shows get canceled. And I have a lot of concerns about that. A lot of my students have concerns about that. What's your feeling about it? Holding it that side of the industry.
The last thing you want to hear when you need your auto insurance most is,
thank you for calling. Please listen to your list of 46 possible service options.
Which is why when you choose USAA auto insurance, you'll get great service that is easy and reliable. 24/7 online service for claims, access to roadside assistance, and more. All at the touch of a button. Start getting the service you deserve. Get a quote today. Ability to receive a quote depends on membership eligibility. Membership eligibility and product restrictions apply and are subject to change. USAA means United Services Automobile Association and its affiliates, San Antonio, Texas.
I think that Hollywood has a problem with homophobia.
No, really?
That's for sure. And it kind of, because I think it speaks to, it's an issue with Hollywood is, are so many people so scared of people realizing that they have no idea what they're talking about? So a lot of the time they make decisions. And again, it's not necessarily coming from a bad place, but they make decisions based upon what they think that someone will think poorly of, not right. What someone will be inspired by.
Mm-hmm.
So it's easier to do stories where gay people just die of AIDS all the time, for example, or this or whatever, because, well, no one's going to get mad at anyone for making a movie about gay people dying, I guess. Gay people like it okay enough, right? So the idea of making, like, you know, but look at something like Will and, again, like, well, they'll do something like Will and Grace in the 90s. Like, why did it work? Because it was just about gay people not dying of AIDS. How about that? That was it. Yeah. Literally, that's the bar. Literally, the bar is make it cute, make it good, make it funny. Just gay people being normal people, right? And I think that, you know, the fact that who's the most famous gay actor? Rhetorical question, right?
Aside because, from like Rock, right?
It's like, exactly. There's definitely a lot of gay actors, for sure. I don't want to out them, but you can guess some of these people. It's like, well, why can't they be gay?
Mm.
Why can't they come out? What's the why? What's the holdup, essentially?
The fear mongering of like, what'll happen to your
career? Kevin Spacey only comes up, like, I knew Kevin Spacey was gay in 2000 in Michigan, right? I did, not even working in Hollywood. Right? Because there's pictures of him like kissing some boy or whatever. It's like, okay, so when Kevin Spacey wins his second Oscar, why couldn't he be like, and I'm gay, everyone? How exciting. Cool. Second Oscar, bitches. But instead, like, it's like, what? Because he was scared about, sure, he was being a monster and sexually assaulting people too. But it's like, just be gay. Right? And then don't use it later as something, oh, but I was gay, blah, 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 trauma. I'm like, oh, fuck off.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Fuck off. Sorry. You don't get to And again, it came from fear, right? The fear of other people putting that on him and this and other people. So I think it's like, so when you talk about queer shows and this, it's like, okay, like you got Greg Berlanti, who makes just the most vanilla, like cool. He has a great business, but makes the most vanilla nonsense. Like Love, Simon was almost offensive to me. And it's kind of like banality of like, this is like, it's a queer romance or whatever. It's like, this is, what is this, fucking 1982? Like, what the fuck? How is this? This is not progress. This is, there's nothing in here that is like provocative or, and also The Birdcage came out in fucking 1992 or shit. And it was like a better fucking comedy about gay people. What the fuck? This is the first time Hollywood's even done this. So why? And also feels like it's even worse than that. Right? Like this is, feels like it's even more regressive and even more scary because it's not coming, again, it's not coming from a place of, well, what will liberal people think? But what will the people in Ohio think? Or what will the people, the conservative people think? Or we're going to make a movie for everyone. But the thing is, don't make a movie for everyone. You don't have to make a movie for everyone. You know how you make a movie for everyone? Making the best movie possible for one person. Mm. If you make someone's, one person's favorite movie of all time, I can guarantee you that some other people are going to also think it's pretty cool. Right? True. If someone said that Love, Simon was their favorite movie, I'd be like, have you seen movies? Like, you know, there's more than just that one, right? That's your favorite movie. I'd be like, okay, that's cute. I think you should watch more movies because there's a billion versions of that movie that are way
it's
better.
It's safe.
Right?
It's safe.
Right?
Yeah.
Super safe. And then you have Ryan Murphy. Again, Ryan Murphy's fun. Again, but at the same time, it's almost the opposite where it's like, okay, he does like, gays are super villains or evil or serial killers or catty assholes or this or they're, again, or they're dying of AIDS again. Why can't there be, you know, like a real just queer romance or this? It's like people would eat up with a fucking spoon. I mean, they would eat up with a spoon. They're just so scared to do it because they're so scared of what someone might think about it if they don't want to do. So, but I think that's what feeds the content. Like, why are those shows getting canceled? Because my problem with a lot of these queer content is it's not for me. Love, Simon isn't for me. I think that Love, Simon is for like straight women, essentially.
Right. Yeah.
Like, I think that gay people can enjoy it, but it's like not really like, it's not my gay experience. But to me, that doesn't really speak to anything really tangible and real. Right. It's not really kind of getting into the real essence of like what the queer experience is. And I think that Hollywood is still not quite ready.
Literature is doing a little better job than we are. Some of the YA, the LGBTQ YA stories are just, oh God, they're so rich and deep and meaningful. Yeah. And we're just not seeing that on screen yet translating.
Not, no. Well, again, because, but honestly, I know that it would crush. I know that people would definitely.
I know too. I know
that people want it, but they just, it's, it's a little bit of like chicken or egg, right? Because the market isn't demanding it and then the people aren't making it, right? So then the queer people don't even necessarily feel that empowered to, you know, go for it, right? Like, so that's what, yeah, I think I'm working on it.
Oh, good. I'm so glad to hear
that's
that.
That's the point. I'm on it. I'm on the task. If I had a blank check to make any movie I want, it wouldn't be Love, Simon. I know that my shit would make even more money.
100%.
I know that it would, because I understand all the rules about how movies work, but I also understand how to play with fire. Right? And make sure those elements are in there, too. Not, right? To not saw off the edges before you even get to the show, right? Like, make sure that you keep those things on. Let someone else try to saw them off for you. So as writers or as people that aren't these studio executives that have to deal with their corporate overlords that demand that they make content that everyone enjoys or whatever. I don't know what all these mandates are or whatever. Theme park rides, whatever. Like, that's fine. But that doesn't mean that we have to actually do that.
Okay. I only respect you for it.
Yeah, exactly. Because they don't actually know what they want. They're operating from fear.
Right.
So if you just tell them you just tell people everyone wants this, they'll believe you.
That's true.
They'll believe you. They'll just believe you, right? Because they don't have any, they actually, they're just operating from fear, and it's not actually coming from any real place. They did a survey once with some people at a mall, so they think that that's true. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean it's actually true at all. Right? They don't know, right? People don't actually know what people want. Again, just make what you want. I make movies that I would buy a ticket to go see. If I wouldn't go buy a ticket to go see it, then I wouldn't want to bother spending any time on it, right? It doesn't make any sense, right?
100%. I love it. Lee, you're so fantastic. I'm so happy that you're here with us today. It was really great to meet you, officially have you on the show, Mr. Wizard. So thank you.
Thanks for listening to Hollywood Wolfpack. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. Please help our pack grow by sharing Hollywood Wolfpack with your friends and colleagues. Give us a rating and write us a review. Kaya loves hearing from you and reads them all. For more on Kaya and the Entertainment Business School, visit entertainmentbusinessleague.com. Until next week, remember, the strength of the pack is the wolf, and the strength of the wolf is the pack.